seems like every day we see an advertisement on TV about protecting our identity. We need to buy this service and that service to protect our holdings and our interests and things like that. And I want to talk today about protecting our Christian identity. And so it is not so easy to give up who we are. And yet, if we want to go to heaven, we must control our identity. When we talk about our identity, that's who I am. So I have to be in control of who I am and what I am doing. So we're going to look at this. See, we're told to take pride in who we are, and we're supposed to recognize, yes, take pride in yourself. Just don't be filled with pride. But yes, we should do that. And we are encouraged to remain true to ourselves. We don't want to be a hypocrite or called a hypocrite. And, of course, so we resent it when others pressure us into changing some aspect of our core identity. That's not like me. And you want me to change. Well, some things, I mean, wearing a mask. I mean, 6 months ago, we didn't wear a mask anywhere. And now, I mean, we're kind of expected to wear a mask everywhere. And so, I mean, some things we don't like, some things we understand. In fact, the world tells us, and we have become convinced, that such efforts are about control. And that's true. If you look at the politicization that this thing has gone through, it's more about control than it is really anything else. And sometimes that's exactly what it's about. But yet there is a form of control which God is supposed to have control over us. And we have to conform to His Christian identity. And so, do we have to change? Well, yes and no. I mean, if we're living faithful, we shouldn't change. We should continue on. But if we're not living faithful, yes, we do need to change. So we realize that in our world, sometimes our identity can be stolen. And when they do that, this causes problems in the real world and puts a financial burden upon us, which we did not ask for. You all of a sudden start getting bills for things you didn't purchase. Well, wait a minute, something wrong here. And once you investigate, you find out, okay, somebody stole my identity. Then you have to get law enforcement involved and other services, and then you have to go to the bank and try and get all that done. You have to go to the credit unions and get all that and explain to them what happened. And it's just a big hassle. We don't like it. So this is true in the real world, but it's also true within Christianity, is sometimes people steal our identity. Now, as hard as it is for us to accept, sometimes who we are is not who we need to be, which means that change is something that is needful. And so let me restate that. It's not always who we are, but who we need to be. That's the purpose, that is the focus of what we're talking about. What we need to be is what God wants us to be. And sometimes if we're not there, someone's going to ask us to change to get there. And that is to our benefit if we will do so. Now, Christianity is about change. Yes, the whole concept of Christianity is about change. More specifically, when we commit our lives to Christ, we are agreeing to give up who we are in one sense, in other words, what we used to be, to become who God wants us to be. So, yeah, that does take place. See, our new life is no longer about ourselves. As he says there in Matthew 16:24, we must deny ourselves. And then there's other passages which talk about the fact that we don't belong to ourselves. We are not our own. And if we're in Christ, we are a new creature. So we have to make those changes. Paul tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When you renew something, you make it like new again, okay? And so sometimes our minds have to be cleaned out of all the garbage that's in there and then replaced with something that is good. And that's what Christianity is supposed to do for us. Get our minds off the filth of this world and get our minds focused on Christ. So in Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, yes, we still live in the flesh, but we don't have to be of the flesh. See, sometimes we tell people to be true to themselves and follow their dreams. Sometimes that's appropriate, but if their dreams are to do something wicked and evil, then that's not good advice to give. And so, yes, and of course, telling people to be true to themselves. I mean, don't make yourself a hypocrite, which is also a good thing, but yet some people who are basically bad people, we don't want them to stay true to themselves. We want them to change and get better. So, yes, there's a few qualifications in here. And so sometimes we do this without qualification, and we should sometimes. See, many people do what they want to do, but to become a Christian means we must do what God wants us to do. And see, here's the difference here. This is what we talked about earlier, about the control. I mean, when we let God control us, God tells us this is the way he wants us to live. And so we need to change our ways to live the way that God wants us to live. All right. If we do not attach the qualifications, we are sending a dangerous message. And so we need to talk about the qualifications of a Christian, what it takes to be a child of God, and then we'll be that. See, we should be true to Christ instead. Instead of being true to yourself, be true to Christ. And if you can develop your own self to be in line with his thinking, then you're on the right path. And you should be like Christ. And we're told several times in the scriptures we should be like Christ. He is our perfect example. So we should be pursuing God's plan and purpose for our lives. Now, God's plan, it involves me, in other words, my salvation, but also God's purpose is to help everybody get to heaven. And so my responsibility is the same as the purpose he gave the church. Help people get to heaven. And that's what it's all about. And so I should get to that point where I want to help people get to heaven. God wants people to go to heaven. Then we're doing what God wants us to be and to do. So maybe you're thinking that these two are not mutually exclusive. And so we can be true to ourselves and to Christ. We can do that at the same time. We can have our own dreams while also pursuing God's plans and purpose. Because as long as our dreams don't get in the way of God's purpose, as long as we don't confuse our ideology with God's ideology, then we're going to be okay. So yes, we can be faithful to Christ, and at the same time, we can pursue our own dreams. To some extent, this is true, but only to the extent that our identity and our goals are subservient to the will of God. And that's where we have to make the identifying factor. We have to be servants of God first and foremost, and then we can do our own thing, as long as it doesn't interfere with the will of God. So we also remember that circumstances and environment have a huge part in who we are, who we become. As we were growing up, our home environment kind of determined what we're going to be, for the most part. And of course, that's not always true, but sometimes it is. And of course, people growing up in one culture, I mean, they do certain things, and they have no problem with it, even if it's like beheading somebody. That's their culture. Strapping on a bomb and going into a crowded marketplace and blowing yourself up along with other people. I mean, that's their culture. They get used to that. Doesn't make it right, but that's what they do. Their environment, their own culture. They have an environment of hatred. And that's what they live in. A lot of large segment of our society has been basically brought up in a teaching of hatred. And so the fact that they can be nice to somebody really doesn't even enter their minds. All right, it happens when we learn to be happy when we serve God. And this is the key. God wants us to be happy. He tells us over and over again to rejoice. Be joyful in what we do. Joy is one of those fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to have and to entertain. And so we should learn to be happy. And the best way to be happy is knowing that we're serving God. See, it happens when we get satisfaction from helping others. And yes, it happens when we feel a sense of pride for sharing the gospel with somebody. And it really matters if they accept and obey the gospel. I mean, there's a great deal of happiness associated with that. And it happens if we can mentor and teach these people to become more like Christ, to develop them, to help them along their spiritual journey so that they can grow stronger and they can be more like Christ. And then, of course, they can teach others how to be like Christ. So it doesn't mean that if you like sports, you have to stop liking sports. That's true. You don't have to stop liking sports or whatever your hobbies might be. And sports have a place in our world. We just cannot allow sports to take over our number one goal. And a lot of people do. I mean, the ball game is more important than going to church for a lot of people. And they don't want to miss the ball game, even though they've got a DVR and they're probably recording the show anyway. But yet they're sitting there watching it. And yes, that keeps them from going to serve God. So we cannot allow sports to overrule our main objective. See, if you're an environmentalist, it doesn't mean you have to give up your passion for the environment. I mean, that's true. If you want to hug a tree, go ahead and do so. I just might caution you, check for ants or other bugs before you do that hugging. But it's up to you. If you want to go hug a tree, knock yourself out. I don't really care. But don't turn around and tell me I have to go hug that same tree. All right. This doesn't mean that you must start wearing some kind of Christian costume. And some people feel that way. You know, certain religious groups, they wear specific clothing. And sometimes the world identifies them. Sometimes Jews have their particular garments that they wear. And sometimes the Catholics or those in the priesthood have their particular garments. The nuns have their habits. And then, of course, there's some, they wear certain types of clothing. Sometimes the way they wear their hair, the way they behave in public. Some of these can all be identifying factors. You know, the Amish, I mean, they dress a particular way. And so you know their culture by the way they dress. See, when we're told in Galatians 3:27 that we should put on Christ in our lives, it does not mean wear it like a garment. Just put it over your shoulder and wear it that way. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we put it on as a culture of obedience to Christ. That's what we do. That's what it means to put on Christ. Take the attributes of Christ and put it on ourselves. Now, what did Christ live to do? He lived to please the Father. That's what we should be doing. Living to please Almighty God. And then, of course, that includes pleasing Christ. So, this isn't about how you do your hair. Mohawks and spikes may have a place, but it's usually done to get attention or express rebellion. Even though some hairstyles are radical against the norm, some might question the reasoning for wearing hair in such a provocative way. The same goes with tattoos. Nothing wrong with getting a tattoo, but sometimes it might be the attitude and reason for getting the tattoo might be something that it might be an act of rebellion. I know a lot of kids. Mama said no. They did it anyway. They got their tattoo. Alright. This is not about what kind of music you listen to. You know, we know that some music is nothing more than noise. It's a lot of noise. And some music, what they call music, is just full of foul language or ungodly concepts. And that's definitely something to be avoided. And what we're talking about here is an attitude of total, unwavering self-sacrifice. When I say we have to give up ourselves, like Jesus said, unless you deny yourself and follow after me, you cannot be my disciple. So we have to change our ways. It's no longer about me. No longer about me, it's about Him. And that's how we need to be living. Not about being insulted at the mere mention that we have to change who we are. You know, you walk into somebody and say, no, we can't do that. They get insulted. And some person goes in for a job, they're covered up with tattoos. Well, we have a policy, you're going to have to cover up those tattoos while you're at work. I mean, some people get actually insulted about that. How dare you tell me that? All right, so it's about not feeling resentful when the gospel convicts us of changes we do have to make. See, if we want to go to heaven, we're going to listen carefully to what God tells us to do. And yes, we're going to pay attention to those instructions, and we're going to do what we need to do in order to receive salvation. And so, yes, we are going to have to make some changes. We all have made those changes. We all have to do those things. See, it's about having such trust in God's wisdom and His plan for us. That's what we're doing. We're trusting Him. God has a plan for our salvation. He's revealed that plan to us. Now all we have to do is follow that plan. It's about loving God so much because of everything He's done for us. Yes, He's done so much. He gave us His Son. He cared about us. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us in the way that we should live. So it's about the fact that we're willing to do anything, to give up anything, to change anything, to please Him and to glorify Him. That's what it's about. It's about the sacrifice that we need to make. And that's the attitude that we need to have. If this giving up of self insults, bothers, and angers you to your core, then the fact is you do not yet understand biblical Christianity. I mean, it's just a fact. And that's fine so long as you recognize the conflict between your desires and the Scriptures. As long as you recognize that I'm not willing to give up my life, but if I want to go to heaven, I'm going to have to change my ways. As long as you realize that, then you're okay. I mean, hopefully you'll seek to change those things before it's too late. But you do need to recognize that conflict. And as long as you see a value in following the Scriptures, and you do so, it's always to our advantage to follow Scriptures. May not always be convenient sometimes, but it's always to our advantage. When you must also be willing to be challenged, to fight the battle, to press on. Yes, we need challenges from time to time to examine our faith and to see if we're strong in the faith. See, in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. See, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the continuation from our scripture reading gives us this information. We haven't gotten there yet, folks, but yet we're trying. That's why we gather together. That's why we worship God. That's why we get these messages on how we should be living our lives, because we want to become perfect at one point. And yes, we haven't gotten there yet, but it's a goal that we should be striving for. We press on to hold on to that goal. So if we truly believe in and trust God, we have to understand that God's original design for us is better than the world's expectation of us. We must know that. And yes, God does have a good design for us. Christianity is about self-sacrifice. It's no longer about me. But in some ways, if we're in a church setting, it's about we. This is about all of us helping each other get to heaven. And yes, that attitude is critical, but more importantly, it's about our achieving our full potential per God's original design. basically as children of the Almighty Creator of the universe, we have been chosen to share the gospel message with the world. And that is what we're supposed to do. See, when we refuse to give God full control and sway over our lives, we're robbing Him. We really are. And we're also robbing ourselves. Because if we're keeping back from God, we're hurting ourselves. We just don't realize it, but we are. And yet the world and sin have stolen you from God and redefined you. This describes some people you know, people who were once faithful to serving the Lord, and all of a sudden the world stole them, stole their Christian identity, and now they're living in the world. Sometimes in big ways, sometimes it's just small ways. Oftentimes, who we are is who the world has trained us to be. And that's usually the case with most people. The world trains us to be basically anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-morals. And a lot of times, sometimes we do that. See, in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Now, Paul said this because, let's face it, Paul, probably one of the greatest Christians of all time. I mean, he definitely proved his dedication to the Lord and serves as a good example for us. But what he's saying is, the things that I've done in this life, that's all in the past. And it's just something I just have to dispel right now, because where I am now, I've got to go from here. Doesn't do any good to go back 20 years ago. Yeah, I obeyed the gospel 20 years ago. What good does that do today? If you haven't been growing and learning, then it hasn't done you any good at all. If, on the other hand, you have been growing and learning, as we discussed in class this morning, then it's to your advantage. Yes, we do have that. But the things of this world that we had to give up, what meaning did they have? Really, when compared to the Lord, they had no meaning at all, because they're all physical and they're all going to perish with the using. So, remember that God made you and you are His. It is your choice to determine how you're going to live. And that's one thing, that's it. That's the beauty of it all. He gives you the choice. But He didn't say you could choose any way you want to live. He gave you two options. You can live a sinful life, the way of the world, or you can live a Christian life, the way of God. So if we want to go to heaven, we must conform to what God wants us to be. So you do have a Christian identity in this world. And yes, the world has to know that you're a Christian. And you demonstrate that by your behavior, by your speech, by your habits, and by really everything that you do. And if you haven't done that, if you don't have a Christian identity, let us help you get one. It's so very important. So keep these thoughts in mind. We have to be very careful that we don't lose our Christian identity. All right, we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.